Okay, good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming. Tonight's shiur has what to do with the shiur that we discussed, the topic we discussed 2 weeks ago. We discussed Kinyan Kesef, and we talked about shtaris and currency. So this shiur has what to do with that. There's a Gemara in Baba Metzia. The Gemara in Baba Metzia in Perek Ezehu Neshech, Ayin Dalid, Amud Aleph, says the following. Now, the Gemara there is really discussing Ribbis. The Gemara is discussing Hilchos Ribbis. And, for example, maybe one day we'll devote a shiur to that. For example, if I give you money now, and I'm paying up front for goods that you do not plan on delivering or supplying until the end of the year. So the Gemara discusses, for example, that you're giving money now for wine, and the wine wasn't even produced yet. The wine is going to be produced over the year, and you're going to deliver the wine to me at the end of the year. So it's a ribbis issue, because if I'm giving you the money now, it's as if I'm lending you money, and you're not going to deliver the goods until later. And at that time, at that point, the goods might already be worth more than the original price. So it turns out that you're giving me back more than what I gave you originally. So that could potentially be a ribbis issue, and the Gemara discusses the ins and outs of that. But the Gemara makes a statement, Omar Rav Papi Mishmei de Rava. So Rav Papi says in the name of Rava, Hai Situmata, Situmta. That's how I've heard it pronounced. Situmta, Kanya. So the Gemara says, a Situmta is a Kinyan. Now we're going to discuss what that means. We're also going to discuss the etymology of the word Situmta. What does the word Situmta mean? So the Gemara says, the Mai Hilchasa. What does it mean that the Situmta is Kanya, is a Kinyan, acquires it for you? Lamai Hilchasa, regarding what? So Rav Chaviva Omar Lamikne Mamish, Rav Chaviva says that this Situmta, which we'll define in a moment, is an actual acquisition. You actually purchased the goods and there's no backsies. So we did this Kinyan called Situmta, and that's it. You can't retract, I can't retract. It's a full Kinyan. Rabbanan Amri, Likbuli Ale Mishapara. The Rabbanan argue, they say that it's just subject to Mishapara. Mishapara are the first few words of a curse that Chazal issued, that if a person backs out from a deal, so he's subject to Mishapara, to the one referring to Hashem, the one who exacted punishment from the Egyptians should exact punishment from people that back out from their deals. So Mishapara. So there's actually a fundamental machlekes. This Situmta, when you perform an act of Situmta, is it a full Kinyan that nobody can retract? You're unable to retract? Or is it only a Mishapara? Is it only a strong agreement that if you could retract, you're able to retract, but you're subject to the curse of the Chachamim? The Chachamim are not happy with you. But it wouldn't be a Kinyan. Hilchasa, the halacha is the Kibuli Aleh Mishapara, that this Kinyan, this Situmta, is only to receive a Mishapara. It's only a strong agreement that you're able to retract, just you'll have to accept upon yourself the fact that the Chachamim aren't happy with you. The Gemara concludes, Ba'asra d'nehigu l'mikni mamishkar. But if the custom is to use this Situmta as a real Kinyan, then the halacha is that it actually is binding, and it's as if you made a full-fledged Kinyan, and then you're unable to retract because the buyer now owns it, and he now owes you money, and there's no way to reverse the transaction. And we see from the Gemara that this Situmta is a Kinyan that helps because of the Minhag. It's a customary Kinyan, and it helps because of the Minhag. Now, what is the etymology of the word Situmta? What does this funny word Situmta mean? Obviously, it's an Aramaic word. What does this word mean? So it's interesting, in Choshen Mishpat, Reish Aleph, Sifkatan Aleph, and that's where these halachas are brought, that a customary Kinyan, if it's the custom of the land to treat this as a binding Kinyan, so the halacha is that these customary Kinyanim are effective. So the Vilna Gaon the Biragra, he translates the word Tzitumta, he brings the Targum of the Pasuk, Vatoimer Chaysamcha. So, Chaysamcha, this is the Pasuk that Tamar says to Yehuda. It's actually in Yonah de Yoima, because that's how David HaMelech and the Mashiach, they came. The Davidic dynasty was established between the union of Yehuda and Tamar. So it's almost in Yonah de Yoima. So Tamar was disguising herself as a harlot, and she said to Yehuda, give me your chaysamcha, give me your seal as collateral, a seal. So the Targum, the Aramaic translation, Targum Onkelos, and the Targum Yoinason, they translate the word chaysamcha to be situmtach, situmtach. So it's a seal. The Vilna Gaon, he identifies the etymology of the word, that the word situmta in the Gemara comes from the Targum word, the Aramaic word situmtach, which is the translation of the word chaysamcha, your seal. So it's a seal. It's a Lashon Chaysa. And we'll soon see the various examples of what could be a customary kinyan. This would be consistent with Rashi's translation in the Gemara, that it was a seal that the balabatim, that the loikhim, that the purchasers, the customer, would put on the barrels. So the Rush in Ezel Neshech, he gives us a few examples of what the customary kinyan might have been, and the poskim say it doesn't really matter how the Rishonim explain the customary kinyan back then. Any kinyan that would be customary in today's day and age, would be a situmta. So the Rush gives us a few examples. He quotes the Gemara, Omar Rav Papa, Hai Situmta Kanya. It's interesting, we have in the Gemara Rav Papi, the Rush had the Girsa Rav Papa. He also spells the word Situmta differently than the way it was spelled in the Gemara. It doesn't matter. So he brings the different opinions. Pirish Rashi, this is a quote from the Rush. Rashi explained what this customary kinyan was. Roisham Sheroishmim Hachanvonim Hachavya Shaloichim Ibalabat. So imagine if you are a merchant, a vendor, and you have barrels of wine in your warehouse. So I would like to purchase the wine. I want to purchase, maybe I'm a storekeeper, maybe I run a restaurant. I want to purchase, let's say, five barrels of wine. I don't have any room in my store to store these barrels. So I want to be kind of the barrels, and I want to leave them in your warehouse. So I make a kinyan. What kind of kinyan? Obviously, there are conventional kinyanim that I could have made. But what I did was I put a stamp, I put a seal, I put a roisham on the barrels. Maybe I put a sticker on the barrels, this barrel, that barrel, that barrel. And the sticker or the roisham, the seal that I put on the barrel, in certain places, it only created agreement that's subject to Mishapara. And in other places, it was customary to consider that a finalization of the deal, and there's no retract, there's no backseas. So Rashi translates the word situmta, that the method of this customary kinyan was a roisham, it was a seal, some kind of a stamp that they would put on the barrels. I would be leaving the barrels in your warehouse, and that would be considered a kinyan in certain places where that was the custom. Rabbeinu Hananel says something that sounds familiar to us. Rabbeinu Hananel says, Pirish, kederach shenoagu hasoichrim bigmar hamekach, that the merchants, when they complete the deal, toikeya kapoy lekaf chaverim, they give a handshake. It actually sounds like in the poiskim that it wasn't so much a handshake, it sounds like it was more like a high five, that one person would slap the other person's hand. It was echad would be toikeya kapoy lekaf chaverim. It was a symbol of finalizing the deal. And again, in certain places, the custom was to treat that, to consider that as a kinyan. And that was nigmar the mekach. The kol kiyotzi bozeh, anything similar to that. So the Rush qualifies. Eizet davar shenoagu ligmar hamekach, any method that the merchants use to suggest, to symbolize that the sale is final. Kigoyin b'makim shenoagin, shenoisin halokeach matbeya echad lemoicher. Sometimes a person would give a coin to the moicher. Now, we actually discussed this 2 weeks ago, that when it comes to metaltalin, when it comes to movable objects, kinyan kesef is not a kinyan. Remember, we discussed that the chazal, they uprooted the Kinyan Kesef to a certain extent because they're afraid that there would be a fire in the Moicher's warehouse and I will have already paid for the barrels and there won't be any recourse. You're not going to bother to serve to save the barrels and there won't be any recourse. However, says the Rush, if there's a custom that I would give you a token coin and that would symbolize that there was a Kinyan, then this could override, this could become a Kinyan by virtue of the custom. See, even though the conventional Kinyan Kesef was suspended, but if I would perform this token Kinyan of giving you a coin or some other kind of token, that could finalize the sale. And then the Rush there in the back, on the Rush, the Haggai Sashri, the Haggah on the Rush, brings another example from Rabbeinu Avya, that's the Ravya, the Avi Ezri, in the name of his Zikna, his grandfather, Rabbeinu Aban, that Bizman Hazeh, the Soichrim have a custom that they give the key where the merchandise is stored. And that itself, the transfer of the key itself, would be a symbolic Kinyan. So although the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra that the giving of the key is not a Kinyan, the giving of the key is just permission to make a Kinyan, but in certain places it was customary that the Mesiras HaMatbeya, that this Mesiras HaMafteach, the transfer of the key itself was itself treated as a Kinyan. So for example, if I wanted to purchase barrels, so I could have made a conventional Kinyan, we could have done Chalipin, or I could have made Meshicha and brought the barrels into my domain, but back in the day, there were certain customary Kinyanim that the Soichrim sort of invented for themselves, a handshake, or a high five, or putting a seal, putting a stamp on each of the barrels, or giving a token, or like the Avi Ezri says, the mere giving over of the key to the warehouse would already be considered a Kinyan, a customary Kinyan on the barrels. So that's the Gemara, and that is how the Rashi translates it, and the Rush goes along with the Rashi and gives a few other examples of what this customary Kinyan might have been. It doesn't really matter what the customary Kinyan was, because the Rush clearly says, Kol Kiyotzi Bazeh, anything similar to that, and we'll actually see what the Rush means when he says anything similar to that, anything that was a customary Kinyan in that locale would be binding and would actually create a Kinyan. So in item Dalit, I mentioned that it's worthwhile to note, and this Ritva is actually dismissed from the Halacha, but the Ritva argues on the whole thing. He argues on Rashi and the Rush and the Rabbeinu Chananel. He argues on all of these, all of the interpretations of Situmta that we've mentioned. He says like this. He says the following. Tmiya Milsa. He says, this is baffling. I don't understand. My time in the Manda Omar de Kani Bolagam. What could possibly be the explanation that a Situmta finalizes a Kinyan? It's not one of the conventional Kinyanim. Va'afilu ba'asra deloy nehigi. The first opinion in the Gemara held that it's a Kinyan no matter what. Hare loy asa meshicha. You didn't perform the conventional Kinyan. So the Ritva, he doesn't even entertain that there should be such a concept that a customary Kinyan becomes a Kinyan. The Ritva says you didn't perform meshicha. When it comes to metalpolin, when it comes to movable objects, you have to perform the conventional Kinyanim, says the Ritva. So says the Ritva, and he has a whole different interpretation, which according to the Ritva, everything we've been discussing until now simply doesn't exist. Hanachin bazeh, says the Ritva, Masha Omar Moireinu, what my Rebbe taught me, b'shem harav Pinchas Achiv, in the name of his brother, Rabbeinu Pinchas. Interesting. Says the Ritva, Situmta is a coin that does not that was unminted. Ein alav tzura. It doesn't have a mint. It doesn't have a form. Doesn't have a face on it. It was an unminted token. It's just a token. Behatagrin noisin oisoy l'simin kishaloichin davarecha. And the merchants would give this token over when they want to purchase something. So this is all the Gemara is saying. We know, let's just review the fundamentals. We know that Kinyan Kesef does not work when we're talking about metalpolin. The conventional Kinyan Kesef does not work when we're speaking about purchasing metalpolin. And the reason we gave the other day last week, 2 weeks ago, was because the Chachamim made a takana that you require a Mashiacha because we're afraid that there would be a fire or some other calamity in the warehouse, and the buyer who already paid for the object would lose out, would have no recourse. So the Rabbanan uprooted the Kinyan Kesef. However, Chalipin is a similar Kinyan to Kesef, but Chalipin, I give a handkerchief, and in return for the handkerchief, you obligate yourself in a certain transaction. That's Chalipin. Kinyan Kesef does not work. Chalipin does work. If I give you a token, am I giving you the token as Kinyan Kesef, in which case it does not work? Like as if I said, Arvuni Yikne, I'm making a down payment. That was an expression of a down payment. And it's not going to work. Or am I giving you this unminted coin, because you can't use a real coin for Chalipin, Matbeya Vainasa Chalipin. I'm giving you this token for Kinyan Chalipin. By the way, we learned Chalipin from Gilas Rus, that Boyaz and Ploini Almoini, Sholaf Ish Nala, he took off the shoe, and they performed Chalipin. It's a question, who gave the shoe to whom? It's a Gemara in Bamatzia. It's a question, who has to give the article to the other person? But there's a Kinyan Chalipin. So when I give you this token, is my intent to use it as Kinyan Kesef? Am I giving it to you for its value as a down payment? In which case, Kinyan Kesef does not work, because Kesef doesn't work for Metalpolin. Or am I giving you this token as Kinyan Chalipin, which does work? So we don't know, right? So if I have barrels of wine in your warehouse and I give you a handkerchief or I give you an unminted coin, what's my intent when I give you that item of value? Am I giving you that value as Shavei Kesef, as I'm attempting to make a down payment, in which case the Kinyan would not be binding? Or am I giving you the handkerchief, or am I giving you this unminted coin as a token, as to represent Kinyan Chalipin? That's the question. So says the Gemara, according to the Ritva, all the Minhag was doing, the Minhag, the custom of the land, was defining for us what the intent was. What's happening here? We have a choice. Are the two parties performing Kinyan Kesef, which does not work? Or are the two parties performing Kinyan Chalipin, which does work? So the custom would simply clarify to us which of the two Kinyanim the parties are performing. If the parties consider it a Kinyan, that means they must be performing Chalipin, because everybody knows that Kinyan Kesef doesn't work anymore when it comes to Metalpolin. But if the parties do not consider it a binding Kinyan, they only consider it a down payment, then we know that it's not a Kinyan, and you could technically retract. You'll just be subject to the Misha Parah. You'll be subject to the criticism that Chazal said that we talked about earlier. So the Shaila of Stitumta, according to the Ritva, is simply which of the two Kinyonim are the parties performing? Are they performing Kinyon Kesef, in which case it's null and void because the Chachamim uprooted Kinyon Kesef? Or are they performing Chalipin, which is a valid Kinyon and that would be effective? And that's the entire Shaila. And the Minog is only being Mavayer which of the two Kinyonim the parties are doing. The Ritva concludes at the end of Item Dalid, Ein Minhag Zeh Mevatel Halacha Klum. This Minhag is completely consistent with the Halacha. This Minhag is not overriding any Halacha. Kinyan Kesef does not work. Kinyan Chalipin does work. The Minhag is simply clarifying which of the two Kinyanim do the parties mean to perform. That's it. But if you would go ahead and do some kind of customary Kinyan, you would put a sticker on the barrel, that would be nothing according to the Ritva, because the Ritva says, you didn't do Mashiacha, you didn't do Chalipin, you didn't do a Kinyan. There's no such thing as creating a customary Kinyan from scratch, from nothing, something from nothing, there's no such thing. The Ritva says that there's no such Gemara, it's inconceivable that we can make up our own Kinyan. All the Gemara is doing there is just using Min HaGamakam to clarify what the parties were doing. Either it was Kinyan Kesef or it was Kinyan Chalipin. That's all. The halacha is not like the Ritva. The halacha is like Rashi, and it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch Simen Kuf Aleph Halacha Beis. And the halacha is like Rashi and the Rush, that anything that merchants customarily use as a Kinyan becomes a Kinyan. So, for example, the Shulchan Aruch says the various examples that we discussed: if the lekeach would give a pruta, if the purchaser would give a small coin to the meicher, or if they would shake hands or slap hands. The Ramah says if the custom is to give over the key, that was the Rav Yoz example of a customary kinyan, or anything similar to that, the halacha would be that the kinyan would be binding. So what we've discussed until now is that there's a Gemara in Bab Metzia that talks about a minhag. The minhag was situmta, some kind of customary kinyan. The Ritva has a whole different interpretation of that Gemara, that there's really no such thing as creating a kinyan, an act of acquisition outside of halacha. All the Gemara there was clarifying that they were performing kinyan chalipin, but Rashi and the Rush and a lot of other Rishonim learn that the Gemara is teaching us that a customary kinyan becomes a real kinyan. Okay. Now the Pischei Tshuva, this is item Vav, the Pischei Tshuva, which is a tremendous commentary on Choshen Mishpat, on the Shulchan Aruch, it's there on the page, he brings from the Nesivis HaMishpat. Now, the Baal Nesivis, Rabbi Yaakov Melissa, a tremendous Goyim, he was one of the Goyim in the days of Rabbi Kiva Eger. He was a contemporary with Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Ktzayis HaChoshen. So, says the Nesivis that this Kinyan Situmta, so where are we holding? We're holding now that there is such a thing as a Situmta, but the Ritva really challenges this. The Ritva challenges this, that you didn't perform a conventional kinyan. So we have to try to explain, according to the halacha, according to the majority of the Rishonim, how this situmta actually works. So the Nesivis HaMishpat suggests that the kinyan situmta must be a kinyan derabbanan. It must be a kinyan derabbanan, not unlike what we discussed, that the real kinyan is kesef. The Chachamim replaced the Kinyan Kesef with Kinyan Meshicha because they're afraid they want you to take possession of the merchandise. They're afraid that there might be a fire in the warehouse and you'll lose out. So a Kinyan Derabbanan. The Rabbanan, they created a Kinyan. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Hefker Bezdin Hefker. The Chachamim have the ability to be mafkir, to declare your money ownerless. We talked about that. They can either do this to make the world run smoother. They can do this as a punishment. They can do this as a takana. So Chachamim have in their toolbox, Hefker Bezen Hefker, they can create kinyanim. So it's a kinyan derabbanan. That's what the Nesivis says. This situmta must have been a kinyan derabbanan. Now what's the raya? The raya is because let's imagine a regular kinyan derabbanan. Remember we discussed that the Magen Avraham, when we talked about the Avnei Nezer, the Magen Avraham was particular that before Sukkos, when he would purchase a lulav and an esrog, in order to make sure that it was truly his on a biblical level, the Magen Avraham was careful to perform Meshicha and to perform Kinyan Kesef, because he wanted to cover all the bases. He wanted to make sure that he actually owned it on a Torah level. If he would only perform Meshicha, if he would take the lulav home and still owe the money, he was afraid, he was concerned that he does not own it on a biblical level, he only owns it on a rabbinical level. So when it comes to a kinyan derabbanan, there's a whole discussion if Hefker Bezen Hefker makes it mine, if Hefker Bezen Hefker just gives me permission to use the object, but it would not fulfill the condition of Lachem, of really being considered mine on a biblical level. That's the whole shaila by a kinyan derabbanan. We discussed this. We went into this in depth. What exactly is the mechanism of Hefker Bezen Hefker? So says the Nesivis, and the Nesivis has a very strong taina. He has a very strong case that how could it be that the situmta that the people started using, how could that possibly be better than a kinyan derabbanan? After all, a kinyan derabbanan, people are also using freely. Once the Rabbanan enacted this kinyan derabbanan, people are using it. When I want to purchase something, when I want to purchase something from you, so I have to perform Meshicha. That's a kinyan derabbanan. So if there's a whole shaila, if a kinyan derabbanan does not work for a deraisa, how could situmta possibly be any better? So the Nesivis says that the situmta, this customary kinyan that is binding according to Rav Rishayim and according to the Shulchan Aruch, it must be a kinyan derabbanan. That's the Nesivis' opinion. Now, the Chassam Sofer, argues. The Chassam Sofer in Choshen Mishpat, in Chuvis Chassam Sofer Choshen Mishpat, Simin Yud Beis, argues on the Nesivos. He also, there's another tshuva in Yoredeya, Shin Yud Dalet, and the Chassam Sofer says the following. Lafi ani estaiti, according to my understanding, it's a kinyan d'oraisa mamish. And the Chassam Sofer also has a strong case. Because what did the Nesivos say? The Nesivos says that how could it possibly be better than a kinyan d'rabbanan? It must have just been an enactment from the rabbis. Asks the Chassam Sofer, Heichen matzinu shenimnu rabbanan alkoi. Where do we find that the rabbanan, I don't know which rabbanan would have made this kit. Was it the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah? Which rabbanan? Was it the Bez and the Sanhedrin? Which rabbanan got up and voted? Nimnu. Nimnu v'gamru. Where do we find in the Gemara that the rabbis voted and created a kinyan de rabbanan based on the minhag? All Rava says in Baba Metzia, and Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, this is a quote from the Chassam Sofer, that this is the din min ha-Torah. All Rava is doing is revealing to us a fact of life. He's making a statement. He's making a statement of fact. Anything that is customary for the merchants to use as a kinyan, it's as if it's a kinyan. That's all Rava says. Did Rava get up and say that the rabbis made a takana, that anything that people use as a kinyan should be considered a kinyan? Is there a Mishnah anywhere that Situmta is a kinyan? It's an obscure Gemara in Ezun Eshech. It doesn't come up anywhere else. It's an obscure Gemara in Ezun Eshech that anything that people customarily use as a kinyan becomes a kinyan. Does it say anywhere that the rabbis enacted this as a kinyan? Is there a Mishnah that such a thing is a kinyan? No. Rava is simply informing us that it's a kinyan. So how could it be a kinyan? So let's just review where we are right now. We know the Rishonim say it's considered a kinyan. The Ritva objects very strongly. How could it be a kinyan if it's not Meshicha? You didn't perform the conventional kinyan, says the Ritva. The Nesivos says it must be it's a kinyan de Rabbanan. And the Nesivos proves it, because how could it possibly be anything better than a de Rabbanan? Whatever Situmta is, then a kinyan de Rabbanan should be no less. How could it be that a kinyan de Rabbanan is a whole debate if it works for a lulav, if it works on a deraisa level or not? How could Situmta possibly be better? Says the Chassam Sofer, but we don't find that the rabbis made a takana of Situmta. All we know is that Rava tells us that the minhag is binding. So says the Chassam Sofer, kol shen higu ha-soichrim, anytime the merchants they improvise a kinyan, ki ilu hisnu, it's as if they stipulated among themselves, v'kol t'nai shevimamin kayim mehen min ha-Torah, that any stipulation that people make regarding money, regarding kinyanin, regarding transactions, all of these things are subject to our consent. They're subject to our conditions, our stipulations. People, a society, they have the ability to make stipulations and customs among themselves, and it could be recognized and it's binding min ha-Torah. So now the Chassam Sofer has to address the Nesivos, the Baal HaNesivos's taina, his argument. How could it be that this is better than a kinyan de Rabbanan? So says the Chassam Sofer, loy dami le kinyani de Rabbanan, it's unlike a kinyan de Rabbanan, because when it comes to a kinyan de Rabbanan, imagine if I want to purchase something with money, and it's more convenient. I'll pay you and I want it to be considered mine. The Chachamim intervened and the Chachamim said it's not a kinyan until you perform Meshicha. Over there, the merchants or the parties, they did not agree to this. The Chachamim impose this on the people. So the people are using the kinyanim that the rabbis enacted because we have no choice. But we don't see a haskama. We don't see that. It's not as if the people themselves made a stipulation and accepted this upon themselves. We're using the kinyanim of the rabbis because we don't have a choice. But if the people themselves, they agree or they innovate, they initiate some kind of customary kinyan, that's actually better than a kinyan that the rabbis enacted, because this came from the people themselves and this came from a minhag. So when the Chachamim impose a kinyan, they have to utilize the mechanism of Hefker, Bezin, Hefker, and that's why explains the Chassam Sofer, there's a whole Shaila, if it's a full Kinyan Midoraisa or not. That was a discussion we had a few weeks ago. Do the Chachamim have the power to transfer money? Do they only have the power to declare the money ownerless? Or perhaps they did not go so far to transfer, even if they have the power, perhaps they didn't go so far to actually transfer ownership, they just let you use it in the meantime. That's why there's a whole debate if the Kinyan Derabanan works for a Deraisa, because we don't know the nature of what the Rabbanan enacted, what did they impose, what did they install into the Kinyan. But when it comes to a custom, the people themselves, they accepted upon themselves this custom, and people have the right to make stipulations. Kol tnai shebemamin is kayim. We can make stipulations among ourselves, and the kinyan that we produce among ourselves, the kinyan that the people started using voluntarily, and they created a custom, could actually be stronger than the kinyan that the rabbis enacted. It's an amazing Sam Sofer that he's coming to Dingzach, he's coming to disagree with the Nasidus. So the Ritva doesn't understand how such a thing could possibly work. The Nesivis suggests that it's a Kinyan Derabanan. The Chassam Sofer makes a very strong claim. We don't find anywhere, there's no Mishnah to that effect, that the rabbis got up and voted and created these Kinyanim. It just seems to have evolved on its own. So says the Chassam Sofer that indeed, these Kinyanim evolved on their own because the people have the ability to initiate and to establish the kinyan, the minhag, and that's how it works. And actually, the halacha is yes. So the Chassam Sofer, so we are up to item Zion. So the svara of the Chassam Sofer is that a kinyan that was created or improvised with the agreement of the people and with their custom could actually be stronger or more effective than the kinyan that was made from the Tekanos Chachamim, because a kinyan that was innovated or initiated by the people has more smichas das, and a tnai shebemamin is kai, which is not the case for a kinyan derabanan, which is only hefker bezin hefker. It doesn't work mitzad haskama sa'am. It doesn't work because of an agreement of the people. Now, the Rashba says in Baba Metzia, the Chedushei HaRashba, exactly what the Chassam Sofer says, that this kinyan helps for a deraisa. So I quoted the Rashba. This is an item ches. The Rashba says the following: Ubeduchta the kano mamish kani. That was quoting the Gemara. That in a place where the custom was to treat this as a binding kinyan, it works. Says the Rashba, shaminan mina. We see from here that the minhag is mevatel halacha. This is actually the same expression that the Ritva used. The Ritva concluded that it's not a kinyan, that the minhag is not mevatel the halacha. The Rashba, he says that the minhag is actually mevatel the halacha. So although the rabbis establish certain kinyana, and although the Torah establishes certain kinyan, so for example, it's very interesting how how the chain of events evolves. The Torah says you have to use kinyan kesef. The rabbis impose on the people that kinyan kesef will not work. Hefker bezin hefker, we're going to make a takana because we feel it's better for the people, that kinyan mishicha, that way the person got his merchandise and we're not afraid that the merchandise will be destroyed, that there'll be a fire. The people themselves can come back and they can create a minhag, they can improvise and create a kinyan on their own. Nothing to do with mishicha, nothing to do with kesef. They can be a handshake, they can be putting a sticker on the barrel, giving a token coin, giving over the key, whatever becomes customary could become a kinyan. How could that be better than the kinyan derabanan? Because a kinyan derabanan was working with the mechanism of hefker bezin hefker. But a kinyan that comes from the haskamas ha'am, that comes from an agreement of the people, that works because there is a smichas das from the people, and there is a kol tnai shebemamin is kai. And therefore, this could actually uproot, and this could be oikir halacha, the Rashba says. So if we go back to what the Nesivis was asking, how could this be better than a takana derabanan? The answer is very simple, because a takana derabanan is employing hefker bezin hefker. It's something that's sort of imposed, and the question is what the Chachamim did. On the other hand, this is coming from the people themselves. This is a minhag. And the Chassam Sofer, he resolves his question, where do we find that the rabbis enacted such a kinyan? The answer is they didn't. It's just a fact of life that any custom that the people use to demonstrate their smichas das, to transfer property, that itself actually becomes a kin. The Chasam Sofer says in Yaradeya, Shin Yod Daled, and that was the tshuva we quoted earlier, that since Situmta is a kinyan midoraisa, so it works for anything that you need for deraisa. We've mentioned these examples before. I want to keep on mentioning them because I want it to like flow in our bloodstream, these examples. I want to live with these examples. Let's say you have an animal that is about to have its first child. The animal is about to give birth, a cow or a goat. It's about to give birth or a sheep. It's about to give birth. So we know that if it's a zachar, if it's a boy, the first boy is a bechor. It has kedushas bechor. If it has kedushas bechor, what are you going to do with this animal? We don't have the base of mikdash today. We can't offer it as a carbon. You can't work it. You can't shear it. You can't milk it. It's hektish. If the person would shecht it today, he would be chayv karis for shrutei chutz. So what do you do with such an animal? So it's a big inconvenience. We would have to hold on to it for a while, and then we'd have to give it to the Kohen. The Kohen would have to hold on to it for a while. Imagine if we'd have to give the Kohen, you know, a cow, and he wouldn't be able to work with the cow. What would we do with it? So the common custom, the Gemara in Bechoyres tells us, the common custom became to sell it to a non-Jew. If you have a pregnant cow, and it might be a boy, maybe you can give it a sonogram, you can determine what the animal inside is going to be. You would have to sell part of the animal to a non-Jew. The question arises, what's the proper kinyan? We want the kinyan to be recognized midoraisa. We can't use a rabbinic kinyan because, like we mentioned before, a rabbinic kinyan might not be sufficient. Like we talked about the lulav, the rabbinic kinyan might not be enough. So therefore, you should use a bona fide kinyan. Says the Chasam Sofer, since Situmta is a kinyan midoraisa, so you can sell, you can transfer ownership, the cow, to the non-Jew with a kinyan Situmta. So you can go to a ranch and you can find out what the going custom is. How do the cowboys consider the transfer of livestock? What do they have to do to consider it that it's theirs? Do they brand it? Do they lasso it? Who knows? Whatever they do, what act do they do to demonstrate a transfer of ownership? The Chasam Sofer says, whatever the custom is, that'll be sufficient to exempt the mother from Bechor and problem solved. You do not have to find what the biblical kinyan would be. It's sufficient to simply do whatever the custom of the cowboys, of the rodeo, of the corral is. You can transfer ownership of the animals in order to pater it from Bechor. The Mishnah Berurah says the same thing in Hilchos Pesach, in Simen Tav Mem Ches. So when we're discussing selling the chametz before Pesach, this is also something that we want the kinyan to be recognized midoraisa. Because imagine if the Torah considers my chametz mine over Pesach. So can I use a rabbinic kinyan? So then we're subject to the whole story. Is a rabbinic kinyan a kinyan midoraisa, right? That gets into the whole tumult if a kinyan derabbanan is a kinyan deraisa. So preferably, I should use a kinyan deraisa. So when you go and sell your chametz through the rabbi, so you're authorizing the rabbi to sell the chametz to a non-Jew. The rabbi would sit down erev Pesach with the non-Jew, usually the janitor or somebody who he has a relationship with, and he would explain that I want to sell all the chametz of the residents of this kehillah. I want to sell it to you. And he makes sure to perform a proper kinyan. Kesef, shtar, schiros, he rents the property, chalipin, kinyan chatzir, all sorts of kinyanim, because we want the Torah to make sure the Torah recognizes the sale. It's not going to do anybody any good if the Torah considers the chametz to be yours. Even if the rabbis would consider the chametz to be the non-Jews, we need that the Torah itself, that Hashem himself, considers that the chametz is the non-Jew. Says the Mishnah Berurah, and he's getting this from the Chasam Sofer. So this is item Yud. Says the Mishnah Berurah, le'inyan mechiras chametz koidim Pesach, when you're talking about selling chametz before Pesach, kosvu ho achroinim, the achroinim write, afo gavda lechatchila yeshlin kor bekesef uba meshicha, even though ideally we should use kinyanim that are the conventional, traditional kinyanim that are recognized by the Torah, kesef or meshicha, depending on the circumstance, because Rashi holds that that when it comes to a non-Jew, the Kesef is the Kinyan, and Tosfos holds that the Mashiach is the Kinyan. We discussed this a few weeks ago. You have to try to do as many Kinyanim as you can. Mikom Mokom, nevertheless, im Chametz Merubah, if there's a lot of Chametz, v'yefsho limshach Chametz Kulay, and it's impossible to do Mashiachah on all the Chametz, v'cheinim ena Chametz Kan, or perhaps the Chametz is not local, maybe the Chametz is in a warehouse somewhere else, shiyochel ha'akel mashchay, it's not practical for the non-Jew to go and be moishach, perform Mashiachah on all the Chametz in all the various places, elohu be'irach keres ebederach, the Chametz is somewhere else, or the non-Jew is somewhere else. Yesh lo lahaknoisil lenachri b'shar kinyanim. You can use unconventional other kinyanim to transfer ownership of the chametz. Now these kinyanim should sound familiar by now. Roisham. Roisham was the seal or the stamp on the barrel. That was Rashi's example. Shenogu b'tzas mekoymish al lekeach roisham al dober hanikne k'dei shiyeh lo simin yadua. That the lekeach, the purchaser, the consumer, in this case the non-Jew, would put a stamp or put a sticker on the barrel of chametz or on the merchandise to signify that it's his. If that's not practical, that probably wouldn't be so practical either. So you can do tekiyas kaf, you can do the handshake, whatever is considered to be a kinyan, shemakin kapeim zalzeh. That's why I said before that it sounds like it's more like a high five. The Mishnah Berurah says that they would hit one hand against the other, they would slap hands. Or nesinas pruta, the non-Jew can give a token coin, and that can be considered to be a customary kinyan in certain places. Or you can give over the key if that's the customary kinyan. So these are all the various examples that the Rishonim brought, that the Rush brought, that were brought in the Shulchan Aruch and Sinan Reish Aleph. The Mishnah Brura permits a customary kinyan to transfer ownership of your chametz. Clearly, the Mishnah Brura is paskening like the Chasam Sofer, that the Torah itself would recognize a customary kinyan as a kinyan d'oraisa. Now, the Mishnah Berurah there says it's better to do a customary. He says, we see right here, it's better to do kesef or mashiachah, but a situmta would be one of the acceptable kinyanim to ensure that the chametz is transferred properly before Pesach. This Mordechai, Maseches Shabbos, we actually cited, if you recall, we discussed if you can sell something that's not yet in the world. So we discussed if the problem is that the chifetz, the object, is not yet extant, or is the problem a problem of smichas das? So we already cited this maramukam, we already showed this reference before. But now we're going to bring it in relation to our discussion here. The Mordechai says in the Maseches Shabbos, the Maram Mirutenberg, he writes the following, Misha noder lechaver elio is bal briso. Imagine if a man's wife is expecting, he's very excited, he hopes he has a boy, he's looking forward to making a bris, so he goes over to the local moyel, or he goes over to his friend, and he promises his friend that you'll be the bal bris, you'll be the sandik, or you'll be the moyel, and the baby might not even have been born yet, so we don't even know if it's going to be a boy or a girl. But he's so excited, he's already going around promising this and promising that. You'll be the sandik, you'll be the moyel. So says the Maram, Afal Gav, this is an item Yudal. Afal Gav, the ain of the Makud Davish Lebola Oyma. We discussed this. Although you normally cannot transfer something that is not yet in the world, so the privilege of being the sandik at the bris or being the moyel at the future bris is not yet in the world. We don't even know if the baby is going to be a boy or a girl. Nevertheless, since the minhag was, says the Maram Rutenberg, the minhag was that people would consider these promises binding, umekaimim gam kan, so therefore it's going to be binding, it's going to be binding even here, and you'll have to keep your word. So we discussed once that you're supposed to keep your word anyway, but according to the Maram Rutenberg, it's binding, and you can't retract. And the Maram Rutenberg cites the Gemara in Bava Metzia that we started with. Hai si tumta kanya. And the Maram Rutenberg brings Rashi's pshat, the roisham, the stamp or the sticker that they would put on the barrels. And the Gemara speaks out that in a place where it's a kinyan, it's a kinyan. So says the Maram Rutenberg, the same thing applies when it comes to a bris. That if that became the custom, that when people promised that you would be the sandik, you would be the moyel, that people would be accepted as a guarantee. So you have to keep your word and you can't retract it all. You're supposed to keep your word anyway, but we're talking about it would be legally binding, and you would have to keep your word. If you would change your mind, so your friend who you promised the Sandakais to could bring you to Bezdin. Now, however, Rabbeinu Yechiel would say that if you made this promise, this condition, while your wife was still expecting, before the baby was born, it's a dabar shloi bala oilam, because it's not similar to the Gemara's case of Situmta, because Situmta, the object is already in the world. So according to Rabbeinu Yechiel, all Situmta does is replace the ordinary method of kinyan, but it's still subject to all the rules of kinyan. If we have a rule that you can't transfer ownership on something that's not yet in the world, Situmta will not be better than an ordinary kinyan. We talked about this because according to Rabbeinu Yechiel, the problem of Loi Bala Oilam is that the object has to be in existence in order to transfer ownership. If the object is not yet in existence, so in this case, there's not yet the honor of bringing the Sandik or being the Moil does not yet exist because the baby wasn't even born. So therefore, you can't transfer that Tzchus before the Tzchus was created in the world. The Marami Rutenberg holds that since the problem of Loi Bala Oilam is Smichus Das, is sincerity, if the custom became that people sincerely would promise these gifts, these honors, before the baby is born, it would even help even more than a normal kinyan. So we have here a local machlokes between the Merami Rutenberg and Rabbeinu Yechiel, if Situmta will even work above and beyond an ordinary kinyan on a Loi Bala Oilam. Rabbeinu Yechiel says, no, it can't be better than an ordinary kinyan. And the Marami Rutenberg says, it can even be better than an ordinary kinyan. But again, here's another example of a kinyan situmta. Now, the Kshuvas HaRosh in Item Yud Beis, it's interesting because he argues with his Rebbe. He brings his Rebbe, the Marami Rutenberg, and he argues with his Rebbe. So if you recall, when we first read the Rosh in Bab Metzia, the Rosh brings the examples of kinyan situmta. And he says, kol kiyotzi bazeh, anything similar to that. So what does the Rosh mean when he says anything similar to the examples that were cited by the Rishonim? So says the Rosh in the Kshuva, what I meant to say was that only if you perform a maisa, an item yud beis, simtut situmta is dafka shenase maisa. There had to have been a physical action, because all the examples in the Rishonim, Rashi says you put some kind of stamp or seal or a sticker on the barrel. Rabbeinu Hananel says they used to shake hands or they used to slap a high five, whatever they used to do. Others say that they used to give a coin. Others say they used to give the key. But the Rosh says all the examples in the Rishonim were a physical action. Over here you merely gave your word, so you should keep your word, but it's not a category of Situmta, and the Rosh says that even if the custom was to do that, it's a minagarua. It's an inferior custom. Because this kind of a custom, it's not enough. There are even customs have to have some kind of parameter. And it's a minagarua to merely give your word and create a kinyan through your word alone. We don't follow every single inferior custom. The Mefarshim give other examples of inferior customs that don't bind the people, but if it's a significant custom, it would work. So it would seem from the Rosh that the Rosh fundamentally agrees to his Rebbe that Situmta would work even on something that's not yet in the world. He only takes issue that he feels his Rebbe, the Marami Rutenberg, overstepped the bounds and applied it even to a verbal agreement, but but we only find examples where they actually did a Maisa. So that's what it would seem from this Machlokes. So it's interesting because when it comes to in the Diamond District, so they discuss, this is an item, Yud Dalid, the Poskim discuss that sometimes in the Diamond District, so people would say Mazel Ubracha, and that would signify when they're selling precious stones, a Yahalomim is a Hebrew word for precious stones, they would say Mazel Ubracha. Mazel Ubracha would mean that they're finalizing the sale. So perhaps, according to the Marami Rutenberg and according to Rabbeinu Yechiel, that they discussed that promising the Sandakais should be subject to Situmta, it would be binding. But according to the Rush, that a dibur ba'alma, a mere oral agreement without a maisa, that might not be binding. The Rush there says that his custom was to signify the transaction through a handshake. So if you would just say mazel bracha, it would be subject to the machlekes of the Rush and his Rebbe, the Maram, if that would work. There were a few issues going on there in the case of the Bris. Number one, it was only a verbal agreement. Number two, it was a loy bala oila. So Rabbeinu Yechiel said it doesn't work if it's not in the world. The Maram Rutenberg says it works if it's in the world. The Rush fundamentally agrees to his Rebbe, except that it was just a dibur, it was just an oral agreement. So it comes out that there's a discussion what exactly situmta has to be. So an agreement of mazul bracha might not be enough, according to the Rush. the last issue that I just wanted to touch on in relation in vis-a-vis this topic is a credit card. So a credit card. The Hebrew word for credit card is a kartis ashroy. It's a credit card. So we discussed in previous shiurim that there's a whole debate if a check considered a shtar? Because really when you write a check, you're only giving the person permission to go to your account and withdraw money basically from your account. You're issuing instructions to the bank to give this person money from your account. But there's no indication at all on the check that you actually are obligating yourself in money. The way a credit card works is that you have a deal with a credit card company, and if you swipe the card, the credit card company obligates themselves to give that amount of money to the vendor. And then you obligate yourself to repay the vendor. So a credit card might actually have the status of a chov. It might actually create a debt. A check does not create a debt. You might owe the person money from before, but there's no indication in the check that you're obligating yourself to money. You're just simply giving permission, instructions to the bank to allow the person to withdraw money from your account. A credit card is a little bit different because a credit card is actually an eschayvus. The credit card company is obligating themselves to honor this debt, and it's almost like a chayv. So we discussed if a check is a shtar chayv, a check is probably not a shtar chayv, but a credit card would have the status of a chayv, of a debt. And when I want to purchase something from you and I swipe the credit card, that might be that you already received the debt from the credit card company. That might be in and of itself kinyan kesef, because I'm giving you a chayv. So that's a discussion in the price scheme if that itself could be kinyan kesef. And certainly when the credit card company pays the money and the money winds up in your account, that would certainly be considered that you actually got real money. The only thing is that kinyan kesef doesn't work for metalbalin. That's what we've been discussing all along. So the poskim say the credit cards, is that considered a situmta nowadays? Is there a custom? And this is something that you have to tell me, or that we have to go out and research. We have to take a poll. Is the custom that a credit card is considered having purchased the item? When is the item considered to be your item? Right. This is in Ois Yudches. The Achroinim are busy debating if a credit card would work midin situmta. So for example, when you order something from Amazon over the computer, you either over the phone and you give your credit card information, or over the computer and you type in your credit card information. When is the object considered yours? Is the object considered yours when it's delivered? Is the object considered yours when you pay for it? I once read in one of the family magazines that there was once a story that there was an object that had a signature of a famous athlete who was killed in a helicopter crash, and the kid already ordered that autographed ball, and once the athlete was killed, the ball, the value of the item skyrocketed, so the company or the vendor didn't want to sell it anymore. When was the kinyan effective? Was the kinyan effective when you swipe the credit card? Is it effective when it's upon delivery? So this is a big debate. When do people consider it mine? So this would really be an example of a possible situmta, even if it can't work because of kinyan kesef, because the kinyan kesef doesn't work for metalkalin, assuming that we're dealing with Jewish people. it wouldn't work for metalpolin, but would it be a kinyan because of situmta? Okay. Now, what about giving your credit card information over the phone? Is that subject to the rush? The rush holds that a verbal agreement can't be a situmta anyway. So the place I'm saying no, even the rush would agree that this is much more, giving your credit card information over the phone is much more than a verbal agreement. What's the difference if you physically hand the plastic card or you give the information of the card? That's not what the rush meant. When you promise to give the sandikois or the moil to a person verbally, that can't be compared. The rush said that that's a minigarua. But giving your credit card information over the phone would certainly be a maisa, and even the rush would agree that if the custom is to consider it like it's yours, then it would actually be a kin. What happens if the custom of purchasing something over the credit card or even in a store, what if the custom is that they have a return policy? You can return the object for 14 days. Is that something that a Jew is allowed to take advantage of, that he can return the object after 14 days? So the Pesukim can say that again, because every Tanai the Mammon is Kayim, because when it comes to monetary issues, the people themselves can create their own Minhagim. So if there's a return policy of 14 days or whatever it is, then and the store agrees to honor that, then even if you're purchasing something from a Jew, you can take advantage of the return policy. However, this is something that almost makes the return policy obsolete. It could be a ribbis shayla. It could be a ribbis shayla because if I gave you money for the pair of shoes or whatever, or for the object, for the lawnmower, whatever it is, and I'm using the item in the meantime, and then I decide that I don't like it, and I want to return it to you and get my money back, if that's the case, it turns out that I got my money back, and plus I got the use of the item for those 14 days, that could pose a serious ribbis shayla. So before you use the object, you have to already decide if you want to return it or not. You can't use the object and then decide that you don't want it. In other words, if it's a mekach tois, if you use the object and there's something wrong, there's a blemish that null and voids the sale, that's one thing, because that was unintentional. But you can't buy something, it will be unethical to buy something and be using it for the next week and take advantage of the refund policy. Because then it turns out that you really didn't make a purchase, you really were lending the vendor money and you were using the object, plus you're going to get back the principal, and that would be a serious ribbis shayla. Okay. Yashar Koyach, everybody.
Is that a question?
Yes.
How about if you have a credit card?